U.S. Senator Cory Gardner joins us from Washington, D.C. Yesterday, Senator Gardner met with President Trump and a number of other Republican leaders in Congress and in the administration. And you know what? I think it's just fantastic that we get to talk to you after that experience. Senator Gardner, welcome back to Business for Breakfast. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Thanks for joining. So let me ask you, yesterday's meeting with the president and some of the other members of the leadership, it was a leadership meeting in Congress with the president. What went on in that meeting? What can you tell us?
It was a conversation about moving forward on finding a way to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. It was a conversation about tax reform and what the timing of both of those measures would be and how the White House and the Congress can come together to find what should be a bipartisan solution to fix a law that, as the CEO of Aetna Insurance said, is in its death spiral.
Yeah, it is definitely one of those issues that is catching the consternation of a great many Americans and folks, of course, in Washington, D.C. How likely are we to see the repeal and replacement? There's been talk, for example, a couple of weeks ago, former Speaker of the House John Boehner said, oh, I think that they're not going to repeal Obamacare. They're really just going to put a conservative box around it. How likely are we to see an actual repeal and replacement come into effect, Senator Gardner?
Well, I think next week in the House of Representatives, you're going to see committee hearings that start on the replacement plan. This is an idea that will go through regular order through committees and have an opportunity to be openly debated and talked about, something that is completely different than what happened 6 years ago when the Affordable Care Act, when it was written behind closed doors in the leadership offices and then crammed down on the Senate floor directly. So this is something that's going to go through an open process, regular order, and you'll start seeing that next week in the House of Representatives as they debate it, move it to the floor, and then for passage and into the Senate in several weeks.
So what might repeal look like? Obviously, the bill hasn't made its way out onto the floor or to committee, as next week we're expecting now it to take place in the House. What components do you think will be included in that legislation?
You bet. Well, there's kind of three buckets that we can act upon. These are three overarching buckets that we need to see some steps taken place to make this fixed, to replace this system that we have now. The first bucket is a bucket known as reconciliation. It's a fancy way of saying that it only needs 51 votes, and there are only certain things that you can do, limited by rules of the Senate and the House, under this process. So this will primarily deal with some of the funding mechanisms. That will take 51 votes. We're walking through and making sure that we don't violate any procedural rules that would lose that 51-vote threshold. The second bucket is executive action, what President Trump and Tom Price can take through the White House in terms of executive actions on health insurance, competition, rebuilding the individual market. And then the third bucket are things that can only be done with 60 votes if there's a filibuster, so things that might take bipartisan support. And it's very clear that what the plan shaping up would be to empower the states right now, to give them greater flexibility over Medicaid dollars, to put in place some kind of a program where the Medicaid would be given to the states at their direction without being forced to go to the federal government for waivers. It will focus a tremendous amount of attention on rebuilding the individual market competition within the workplace using a tax credit method to help people be able to afford their insurance using a health savings account, which was wiped out in large part by the Affordable Care Act, to help manage those dollars, those costs, and that care. And then move the focus away from simply a discussion of do you have coverage to a discussion of whether you actually have access to health care with the coverage that you have. Right now, people may have coverage, but they can't afford to use it. So that's a conversation that I think we're going to be able to fix and see over the next few weeks.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Cory Gardner here on the program. You know, I think when we look at Obamacare repeal and replacement, there is some deep division about this among some quarters of the country, in that you have folks on the right who are certainly advocating for repeal and replacement, something that they would argue Republicans in Congress were elected to do and President Trump was elected to do in November. But we have folks on the left who are taking a contrary perspective, as you might expect, and there are many who are protesting or attending different events and so forth. What do you have to say to both sides in regards to why it's beneficial for repeal and replacement in this sense? First, for those who advocate for it, have you been, in your mind, actively involved in trying to get repeal and replacement kind of working its way through to the extent that you can as one individual senator in the United States Congress? And then on the other side of the equation, what do you say to those who are concerned, legitimately concerned, that maybe they'll lose access to care, they'll have some troubles because of what they've been hearing about the consequences of replacing Obamacare?
It's a big question, and I think I'll start with this. 750,000 Coloradans had their health care plans canceled that they were promised they were going to be able to keep. Hundreds of thousands of Coloradans have seen their health insurance costs increase dramatically, even though they were told that their costs would decrease. And now we have many counties that only have a choice of one health care provider to choose from. One insurance coverage option to choose from. And next year, we know that a number of plans are going to be withdrawing from the marketplace, and they may not even have a single plan to choose from. So this is indeed the Affordable Care Act and its death spiral. So I hear from people on both sides of this issue, people who like the Affordable Care Act because it covers maybe something that they are concerned about with a pre-existing condition, or their dislike of Obamacare because of the fact they simply are paying $300 several years ago. They're paying $1,500 now with an $8,000 deductible. They don't get to use their insurance because they're out $20,000+ before they can even go into the hospital or use their insurance. So what we can do, though, is find a system that works. Just because we have the Affordable Care Act doesn't mean that it's the best thing. And I think we should find something better. It's proven that it's not the best thing. So we can, under this plan, find a way to help people with pre-existing conditions, find a way to utilize risk pools and tax credits to offset the cost of people's insurance who can't afford it or people with pre-existing conditions to make sure that they can find affordable, usable health insurance. And then find a way to make sure that we address the Medicaid expansion that is going to break the states and the coffers of the federal government if done improperly and just left at status quo. So, I agree. This should be taken very seriously because a lot of people have an interest, and our healthcare is it's part of us, right? So let's do this right. But let's not just keep what we have if it's not working. Let's find a way to make it work better.
You know, Senator Gardner, there has been some discussion among folks in the media have really been presenting this, that you have been sort of MIA in terms of really being responsive to constituents because you're not supposedly holding town halls right now and so forth, that you're almost dodging constituents. Is that the case, and what's going on?
I met with thousands of Coloradans last week up and down the Front Range, hundreds at the Governor's Ag Forum, hundreds in Fort Collins, had meetings, individual meetings and group meetings up and down the Front Range last week. I was in eastern Colorado, Burlington and Fort Morgan, holding public meetings. And so we'll continue to get out to meet with constituents, to hear what's on people's minds. We held a teletown hall yesterday with 10,000 people who participated. We're not shying away from tough questions. We want to make sure that we hear what's on people's minds, and we'll continue to. So, I understand people are passionate. I understand people are wanting their voice heard, and I hope they'll continue to contact our office to do so.
So with regards to Obamacare repeal and replacement, how much do you think we're going to be able to replace Obamacare with in terms of some of the subsidy programs, replacing that with maybe tax credits, with health savings account expansion, with Medicaid flexibility, as you were talking about the block grants and so forth, with regards to some of the taxations, the employer mandate, the individual mandate, those kinds of things? What's the scope that we can expect?
Well, I think that's we're still working through the Senate procedural rules on reconciliation, what exactly we can do, but we know we can eliminate the individual mandate. We know we can dramatically decrease the cost of some of these federal entitlement programs on the backs of states and the federal government while making sure that we provide care to people. And we also make sure that we provide consumer choice and rebuild the competition in the individual market that was crushed by the Affordable Care Act. When you're talking about the individual market, you're talking about 6% of people who are covered who have some kind of healthcare coverage. The majority of coverage is delivered through Medicaid, Medicare, employer-based healthcare plans, and about 6% is delivered through the individual market. That's really the percentage of people who may be most concerned with pre-existing conditions, or in terms of how this new policy is going to work. And it's also the section that was most damaged by some of the critical elements of the Affordable Care Act, making it more and more difficult to provide a insurance policy that was actually competitive and affordable. So we'll focus a lot of attention on rebuilding that individual market. Once we start having more competition, full competition within the marketplace, it's going to drive down healthcare costs even further, and that is going to have long-term benefits.
Real quick, Senator Cory Gardner, our guest here on Business for Breakfast. Tax reform, you said that came up at the meeting yesterday. What is the timeline we're looking for in that regard, and what might we be able to expect once it does ultimately come to the floor?
And that really was the focus of the discussion yesterday with the president, was the time frame, because we need to move forward with the replacement of the Affordable Care Act so that we can then clear the deck for tax reform. Under our budget process, what we're going through, this reconciliation process, we have to complete that before we pass a new budget to address tax reform. Because once you pass a new budget, then it wipes out the ability to use reconciliation on health care. So it's a complicated area of procedure, unfortunately, but we need to make sure that we're through with the health care debate before we move to tax reform. So I anticipate after the Easter break period to return to tax reform and start having a serious conversation about how we can lower tax rates, consolidate the tax brackets, and get government out of people's pockets so that they can invest the money that they see fit.
Infrastructure is one of those issues that President Trump mentioned in his address to Congress just a couple of nights ago. And it is an issue that certainly is something that could potentially affect folks in Colorado in terms of I-25, maybe widening that, in terms of I-70, some of these major highways that we've got in the state. Any thoughts on what we might be able to expect in Colorado as far as infrastructure?
Infrastructure is very near and dear to the president. It was clear in that conversation. We didn't get into any detail, but he followed up on his comments from the state of the, I guess, the joint address, the joint session of Congress where he spoke of infrastructure. In Colorado, we have such a great need for additional transportation dollars. My gosh, we're one of the fastest growing states in the union. We have some of the fastest growing cities in the country. Just a couple years ago, if you look at Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, I think those three cities were all in the top 10 or 15 highest growth cities in the nation. And yet you have an interstate highway system that looks pretty much like it did in the 1960s. So we passed, for the first time in 18 years, a long-term bipartisan highway bill last Congress. We need to build on those successes, find ways to bring additional dollars to our highway needs, because whether you're looking at the 470 expansion lanes, the I-70 corridor up into the mountains, if you're looking at I-25 north or I-25 south to Colorado Springs, we have a heck of a lot more people using the same exact roads. And either it's going to give on the side of people deciding not to do business in Colorado because they don't have access to good transportation systems, or we do the right thing, and that's improve our systems, gain efficiencies, use new technologies, and people will continue to call Colorado home and do so in ever-increasing opportunities.
Final question for you, Senator Gardner, since I know we are out of time here on the program and appreciate you taking the time this morning to join us. How would you describe the relationship that you're developing with President Trump? Obviously, you're not able to talk with him on a regular basis because you're one United States senator and he's got many people to be able to talk with. But you have been known to be critical of President Trump in the past. How is that relationship developing?
Well, I think we've got a great opportunity to work together, and I certainly want to make sure that regardless of who's in the White House, that we're in a good position to represent Colorado values, and that's what I care most about, is making sure that we have that strong Colorado voice at the leadership table here in the Senate and at the White House. And so we've got a very good working relationship, opportunities to fight for Colorado values. That's clear about in our discussion yesterday at lunch, and looking forward to more successes between the White House, the administration, and Congress as we fight for those things that we need in Colorado. It's a growing economy, reduced taxes, reduced regulations, making sure that we have a healthcare system that gets out of the way, gives people the empowerment to choose what they want. And so, look, I think we've got good opportunities ahead. And the president gave a tremendous speech on Monday where he talked about that unity that is going to bring the country together. And that's the focus that he started with on November 9th. And going forward, if that's the focus, I think great things can be done.
Sounds like you're pretty optimistic or pretty bullish, sort of like the markets right now.
Well, you know what? The markets are reflecting, I think, a consumer confidence and a business owner confidence that hasn't existed for a very long time because they finally see Washington that's trying to get out of the way. It's a good thing.
All right, Senator Gardner, thanks so much for taking your time today to join us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. Thanks. Take care.
Senator Cory Gardner here on Business for Breakfast in a Money Talk 1690 AM exclusive here on KDMT. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll check in with Bill Thorpe for our very first Business for Breakfast update. We've got a lot more coming up ahead here on the program, so don't go anywhere.